Shining One Corner of the World by Ben Bender. When Gisella and her wife Charlotte had the idea of planting a hedge in their yard, it immediately seemed like a wonderful suggestion. We talked about making it a project for the whole Sangha and hedged a plan that eventually made the hedge a reality. It was very fulfilling to see people willingly donate money and to feel the joy with which they did so. And it was fulfilling to stand in a field in Brandenburg at the end of November and share the enthusiasm of 20 people who together got the plants in the ground within a few hours. That joy and enthusiasm were the most important things, besides the hedge, of course, that came out of the project. We live in times when I often feel like I'm standing on quicksand. Everything is changing so fast, becoming more intense and dramatic, I seem to lose my balance every now and then. In the background of our everyday lives, I think we all feel the big, pressing issues of our time, the climate emergency and species extinction. It is so overwhelming that sometimes I, too, would like to just bury my head in the sand, even though I know it's wrong to do so. Joanna Macy, the grand dame of Buddhist-influenced deep ecology, believes that we need to develop this very joy, as well as gratitude and enthusiasm, in order to move beyond feelings of hopelessness and individual powerlessness in the face of these overwhelming problems, and then take action. Joanna Macy writes, "Action is not a burden we must carry around on our shoulders. It is something we are. The work we have to do can be seen as a way of coming alive. It is more than a moral imperative. It is an awakening to our true nature, a releasing of our gifts. What I appreciate about the Buddhist tradition is that for 2,500 years, it has continued to reinvent itself to provide answers to the most pressing questions of our everyday lives, whether we live in ancient India, the Japanese Middle Ages, or the global postmodern era. At the same time, this tradition remains true to itself, developing its answers from a quiet center of wisdom and compassion." Akasio Zendo is very much connected to the developments in Buddhist practice in the U.S. through my many years of practice at the San Francisco Zen Center. There, as far as I can tell, the major issues of our lifetime are increasingly the focus of practice, particularly the climate emergency and species extinction. To give just one example, in 2017, David Loy and other Dharma teachers formed the Rocky Mountain Eco-Dharma Retreat Center in Colorado, which is entirely dedicated to the dialogue between Dharma practice and ecology. In his book, Eco-Dharma, David describes a task he sees facing Dharma practice today. "Until now," David says, "Buddhism has always focused only on individual well-being, but at a time when the survival of many species is at stake, including our own Homo sapiens, Buddhism must shift its perspective to collective well-being. Although I do not share David Loy's analysis that Buddhism until recently focused only on the suffering of the individual, I believe his basic view of things is highly relevant." The Oberstdorf Hedge Project is a small project. It brings to life Shunryu Suzuki's phrase that Zen practice consists of shining one corner of the world. No one can illuminate the whole world. Not even Shakyamuni Buddha succeeded, and perhaps that's a good thing. But a small project of Akasian Zendo can perhaps be an invitation to other Dharma centers and Dharma practitioners to become active within their own means. I confess I don't like the word compassion very much. In traditional East Asian depictions, Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva, that is, the Bodhisattva or archetype of compassion, is often rendered with 1,000 arms. At the same time, in her palms pointing forward, there is also an eye, the eye of wisdom. Passion, like love, is more than just a feeling, because feelings come and go. It is an inner attitude, a being active beyond mere self-interest for the well-being of all beings. Joanna Macy writes, "Since the relationship between the self and the world is reciprocal, it is not a matter of first becoming enlightened or saved and then acting. When we work to heal the earth heals us. We do not need to wait. When our concern is great enough to take risks, we loosen the ego's grip and begin to return to our true nature." Perhaps it is above all this compassion and action that a look at U.S. Dharma practice can inspire us to do. In our experience of powerlessness and hopelessness in the face of the pressing issues of our time, we may think that the actions of individuals or small groups do not make much difference. But to recall the eye in the palm of Avalokiteshvara Bodhisattva, in Buddha's wisdom, there is no such thing as big or small, and this is not meant theoretically. Each of our actions is so all-encompassing that we will never fully survey its consequences. People donated to the Hedge Project, and that compassionate act changed them. Others worked hard in the field for a day in November and left the Zendo in Oberstdorf with confidence and joy in their hearts. With that confidence and joy, they met other people, possibly strangers on the train to Berlin, perhaps friends and family members in the evening telling them about their day. The confidence and joy were shared, the empathic spark jumped over and changed these people as well. And it didn't stop there, because these people in turn went on to further encounters. Compassion, to refer to a statement of Zen Master Dogen, is a no trace that continues endlessly. Quite tangible, and yet only to be recognized with the eye of wisdom. This article was previously published in German in Buddhismus Aktuell, Deutschen Buddhistischen Union, Munich, Germany, and reprinted by permission of the author, with translation by the author, and read aloud by Karina Lutz.